We hear again a few of the verses from the appointed reading of Acts chapter 2 for Pentecost. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the name of Jesus. Would we not like to know God's will for our lives? Maybe just a sign, some sort of divine indication telling us which way to go. Maybe the student looking at college, should she go to New Mexico State for mathematics or UNM for marketing? Which is God's will, and how will she know? Or the husband and wife considering buying a home, should they buy now, or should they save up for two more years to get a better down payment? How should they know God's will for that? A man considering a job in Chicago with a big pay increase, or maybe the job in Dallas, which seems to have more room for advancement. Chicago or Dallas? Which is God's will, and how will they know? Me, when I sit down to watch the news tonight, should I watch CNN while drinking a Shiner Bock, or Fox News while drinking an IPA? How will God's will be made known for that? And Peter does sort of seem to give an answer. But we can say that much bad theology springs from trying to determine God's will for our lives where God has not promised to give his will. Are you sincerely open to God's urgings so that you can feel when he's spiritually prodding you to do something? Is your will in tune with God's will, in tune enough that you can be sensitive to his nudges? Much really bad theology, and we should say much unnecessary guilt, is created by trying to determine God's will for your life. But Peter does seem to give an answer. Acts 2:17, in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Peter gives the promise to the church of prophecy, to you and me, to our sons and daughters, to everyone in the church, all will prophesy. To prophesy is to speak the will of God. We think of it maybe now in our modern world as to forecast, like I'm going to prophesy who's going to win game 5 of the NBA finals. But that's not what prophecy is in the scriptures. To prophesy is to speak the will of God. It is to know God's will in heaven and to proclaim it here on earth. To be a prophet is to be appointed by the Lord to hear his word at the heavenly throne and to bring it to sinners here on earth. To prophesy falsely, to speak God's word when it is not really his word, but only yours, is to be a false prophet. And the penalty for that is condemnation. In the Old Testament, we know the Lord appointed men such as Abraham and Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, all the rest that we can think of. But now Peter speaks of prophecy as coming not from these ordained prophets, but from every Christian. Your old men and your young men, your sons and your daughters, everyone in the church prophesying. There's no barriers of age or of sex or anything else. Everyone. Should the young woman take the mathematics college in college, or should she take marketing? Prophesy to her and tell her God's will. Should the mom and dad buy the house now or save for two more years? They need to know God's will. Get your will aligned with God's will and prophesy to them. Should I watch CNN this evening or Fox News? What's God's will for me? Prophesy and tell me. Much bad theology springs from this desire to state God's will for our lives when God has not promised to give it. But also much guilt. Think of the guilt of a husband and wife who buy a house totally convinced that it was God's will. They felt his urgings. And then when the house has major foundation problems, they have to wonder how God let that happen. Or the young woman who signs up for the math degree only to figure out 3 years later that she doesn't particularly enjoy that. And she now thinks that she should have signed up for the marketing degree. That means she must have sinned against God. A lot of guilt. When we pretend to know God's will, when God hasn't promised to make his will known, we will end up in guilt. So what does Peter mean when he says everyone in the church will prophesy? The prophetic office, that office filled by such men as Abraham and Moses, Elijah and Isaiah, the prophetic office has done its job. It has proclaimed the Savior throughout the generations. Now the Savior has come. Jesus has accomplished all that was spoken by the prophets. He has finished the job. He has redeemed all sinners. Jesus is the last prophet, the full prophet, the complete prophet of Israel, who not only proclaimed the word, but was himself the word in the flesh. After he accomplishes on the cross all things for the redemption of the sinner, the office of the prophet is completed. It's filled to the brim. God, who at many times and in various ways spoke to our fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Hebrews 1:2. So standing in front of the people, many of whom had helped crucify Jesus, Peter says, "Therefore this Jesus, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Acts 2:33. And when they heard that, when they heard Peter say, "You crucified Jesus," they were cut to the heart. But Peter did not want them left in any fear. So he gave them the gift of the gospel, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is to you and to your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Peter comforts the people with the word that the promise of baptism is to you and your children, to all who are far off, everyone whom our Lord calls. Who is to be baptized? No one is to be left out of the promise. Neither neighbor nor foreigner, neither man nor woman, neither old man nor infant. No one is to be left out of the promise of baptism given by the Lord. Who then is given to prophesy? Your sons and your daughters, your old men and your children. No one is left out of prophesying in the church. For to prophesy means to speak the cross. All we have to do is read Peter's sermon. The prophets of the Old Testament spoke the cross, which was to come, speaking it as the Lord gave them glimpses of the coming Savior. But now the cross is an accomplished fact in history. Those after the cross, we and our children, speak the cross in its fullness. We speak it to one another, encouraging each other with the gospel. And when we do speak of Jesus Christ crucified for all sinners, and of the promise of baptism, which is to all, old man and infant, and we speak of the Holy Spirit bringing the body and blood of the cross for us to eat and drink now for the forgiveness of sin, when we do speak this gospel, that is prophecy. Not to tell the young student whether it's God's will for her to sign up for the math program or the marketing degree, for we have no promise for for a word from God on which classes she should take, and we do not want to put her in false guilt of doing or not doing God's will. Jesus didn't die in order for us to sign up for the right college courses. He died to forgive sin. That's prophecy. He didn't die to tell the young couple who wants to know when to buy a house and what God's will is for their money. Jesus did not die on the cross for investment advice. He died to cleanse our consciences. That's prophecy. God's will. What is God's will? God's will is that we love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, and we love our neighbors as ourselves. And God's will is that when His law shows us our sin, so that we say, as those people said to Peter, "What then shall we do?" We then hear His word of prophecy, that the promise of baptism is to us and our children, and this baptism is for the forgiveness of all our sin. Acts 2:38. God's will is always that we hear His gospel, that all sin is atoned for by the blood of Jesus, and that Jesus stands us before the Father clothed in His own righteousness. In the name of Jesus, amen.